Balaam opened his parable with all the dignity of a true prophet of God. His prophetic words are these: "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel! As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of Lion aloes which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. The Moabites understood the import of the prophetic words of Balaam, that the Israelites, after conquering the Canaanites, should settle in their land, and all attempts to subdue them would be of no more avail than for a feeble beast to arouse the lion out of his den. Balaam told Balak that he would inform him what the Israelites should do to his people at a later period. The Lord unfolded the future before Balaam and permitted events which would occur to pass before his sight, that the Moabites should understand that Israel should finally triumph. As Balaam prophetically rehearsed the future of Balak and his princes, he was struck with amazement at the future display of God's power. After Balaam had returned to his place and the controlling influence of God's Spirit had left him, his covetousness, which had not been overcome, but merely held in check, prevailed. He could think of nothing but the reward and promotion to honor which he might have received of Balak, until he was willing to resort to any means to obtain that which he desired. Balaam knew that the prosperity of Israel depended upon their observance of the law of God, and that there was no way to bring a curse upon them but by seducing them to transgression. He decided to secure to himself Balak's reward and the promotion he desired by advising the Moabites what course to pursue to bring the curse upon Israel. He counseled Balak to proclaim an idolatrous feast in honor of their idol gods, and he would persuade the Israelites to attend that they might be delighted with the music, and then the most beautiful Midianitish women should entice the Israelites to transgress the law of God and corrupt themselves, and also influence them to offer sacrifice to idols. This satanic counsel succeeded too well. Many of the Israelites were persuaded by Balaam, because they regarded him as a prophet of God, to join him and mix with that idolatrous people and engage with him in idolatry and fornication. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Moses commanded the judges of the people to execute the punishment of God against those who had transgressed, and hang the heads of the transgressors up before the Lord to cause Israel to fear to follow their example. The Lord commanded Moses to vex the Midianites and smite them, because they had vexed Israel with their wiles, wherewith they had beguiled them to transgress the commandments of God. The Lord commanded Moses to avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, and then he should be gathered to his people. Moses commanded the men of war to prepare for battle against the Midianites, and they warred against them as the Lord commanded, and slew all the males, but they took the women and children captives. Balaam was slain with the Midianites, and Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Moses commanded the men of war to destroy the women and male children. Balaam had sold the children of Israel for a reward, and he perished with the people whose favor he had obtained at the sacrifice of 24,000 of the Israelites. The Lord is regarded as cruel by many in requiring his people to make war with other nations. They say that it is contrary to his benevolent character, but he who made the world and formed man to dwell upon the earth has unlimited control over all the works of his hands, and it is his right to do as he pleases and what he pleases with the work of his hands. Man has no right to say to his Maker, "Why doest thou thus?" There is no injustice in his character. He is the ruler of the world, and a large portion of his subjects have rebelled against his authority and have trampled upon his law. He has bestowed upon them liberal blessings and surrounded them with everything needful, yet they have bowed to images of wood and stone, silver and gold, which their own hands have made. They teach their children that these are the gods that give them life and health and make their lands fruitful and give them riches and honor. They scorn the God of Israel. They despise his people because their works are righteous. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. God has borne with them until they filled up the measure of their iniquity, and then he has brought upon them swift destruction. He has used his people as instruments of his wrath to punish wicked nations who have vexed them and seduced them into idolatry. A family picture was presented before me. A part of the children seem anxious to learn and obey the requirements of the father, while the others trample upon his authority and seem to exult in showing contempt of his family government. They share the benefits of their father's house and are constantly receiving of his bounty. They are wholly dependent upon him for all they receive, yet are not grateful, but conduct themselves proudly as though all the favors they received of their indulgent parent were supplied by themselves. The father notices all the disrespectful acts of his disobedient, ungrateful children, yet he bears with them. At length, these rebellious children go still further and seek to influence and lead to rebellion those members of their father's family who have hitherto been faithful. Then all the dignity and authority of the father is called into action, and he expels from his house the rebellious children who have not only abused his love and blessings themselves, but tried to subvert the remaining few who had submitted to the wise and judicious laws of their father's household. For the sake of the few who are loyal, whose happiness was exposed to the seditious influences of the rebellious members of his household, he separates from his family his undutiful children, while at the same time he labors to bring closer to himself the remaining faithful and loyal ones. All would honor the wise and just course of such a parent in punishing most severely his undutiful, rebellious children. God has dealt thus with his children, but man in his blindness will overlook the abominations of the ungodly and pass by unnoticed the continual ingratitude and rebellion and heaven-daring sins of those who trample upon God's law and define his authority. They do not stop here, but exult in subverting his people and influencing them by their wiles to transgress and show open contempt for the wise requirements of Jehovah. Some can see only the destruction of God's enemies, which looks to them unmerciful and severe. They do not look upon the other side, but let everlasting thanks be given that impulsive, changeable man, with all his boasted benevolence, is not the disposer and controller of events. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel.